Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ dhammaṃ saṅghaṃ namassāmi. So I thought I'd say a little bit about samadhi. How much samadhi do you need in particular? This is a real source of debate in Buddhist circles. And in the Western world these days, generally speaking, people tend to get quite discouraged. There are a lot of people who are good at this, saying that, oh yes, if you have to have this, you have to have samadhi. So it's good to know how much you really need. What Ajahn Chah's take on this was, which wasn't a typical take on it from the time. So Ajahn Chah's teaching was that if you keep your mind firmly onto your meditation object, if you can do that, then this is enough. You don't need to enter into absorption or jhana. This can be useful, can be a very energizing, useful thing, but it's not essential thing to happen. It tended to be something that would not be emphasized in as part of the Thai forest tradition. People boasted of it, then it was very bad form. If people would get carried away with it to the point where they're boasting of it, then this is very bad form. So it's a kind of attitude. This is important to know, because what do we need then to be able to keep our meditation object in mind? There's a lot of determination, faith, energy, application. We can all have these, something we can all have if we really commit ourselves. We don't need to be anything, have anything special. I just need to have a lot of patience. And it's alright if you're there and you're concentrating on your meditation object and there's other things happening, then this is alright. In fact, it's a sign of a good attitude that you're meditating and concentrating with an open mind. You're not focusing to the point of the exclusion of other things, which is actually unnecessary and be counterproductive. Can be counterproductive to try pushing other things away. You try to push them away, they push you back. If the mind begins to enjoy the meditation and the meditation object, you can become one with it without any force. We tend to be very willful, forceful. Western character lack patience. This can take us in the wrong direction. So in a great meditation masters with the greatest concentration practice like this, practiced with an open mind, where it could be attending to the object meditation and yet also being aware of other things that might be happening in the mind, although these things can't intrude on our concentration. So Ajahn Chah gave a famous analogy for this, where he says if your concentration is established, it's like you're sitting in a room and there's only one chair in the room and you're sat in it. So then visitors come and go from that room and yet they can't establish themselves. They walk into the room, you see them walking around, moving around, and because they've got nowhere to sit and settle down, then off they go again. So this is his analogy for the concentrated mind, the one in which the mind is at one with its object and not pulled away from it, and yet can see all these visitors, these other aspects of the mind entering in, coming and going. So this is in no way to discourage anyone who's good at concentration practice. It can be a very good skill and a benefit to the group as a whole to have somebody who's good at this and who can teach people about it, how to do it, how to become concentrated. And yet it can have its pitfalls. It can become conceited or see this as something very special and want to be seen as something special, can tend to feed the ego. So teachers will tend to play this one down and just direct people, or just keep going, this is a good sign, keep going, go back to the object. This kind of thing. So for that one for your reflection.